Once again, we're looking at some people who are good to be in samples and not examples, because I do not want to have the kind of ministry these guys had, but we can learn from them. They are Jeremiah and Isaiah. In the Bible, it goes from where we're at with the Kings and Chronicles and stuff, it goes to Esther and Nehemiah and Ezra. And we're not going to do them next because they had something to do with the rebuilding, because Jerusalem gets destroyed and gets taken, the whole nation of Israel gets all messed up and destroyed. And I don't know why they're where they're at in the Bible. I mean, you got all these Kings and Chronicles and stuff, and then you got Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, and or that order, Ezra and Nehemiah, yeah, that's right. I think, I don't know, Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. Then you got the Psalms, the Song of Solomon, all this good stuff. Then you get to Isaiah, which was back in the king's time. So it's kind of a strange order. So we know that the Bible's not chronologically in order, but we do know it's dispensationally in order, and the Old Testament is its own dispensation, so that's not a big deal. But anyway, in fact, there were prophets back in those king's days, and it was Elisha from those guys, but they weren't biggies. Isaiah and Jeremiah, and the ones we're going to come up with here in the next couple months, they write down all the things that they said. Mm-hmm. So we're going to read what they've written. We read about these other prophets, but we're going to read what they had to say. And remember, these prophets are the people that God would speak to, so they would then go tell the people what's going on. He was like your spiritual advisor. If a king wanted to ask here something from God, or anybody did, they would pray and they would talk to God about it. Then they would have to go to hear these prophet guys. God would tell these prophet guys what to go tell these guys. You got a Bible. See, God gave us a Bible. He didn't give us a man or men or people to tell us. The same thing I'm telling you, Danica, is in the Bible. You don't need me. And as you get older, there's going to be fewer and fewer pastors that are going to be preaching and teaching this Bible like it's supposed to be, but you still have that Bible. And that's the one thing that he's given to us. But back in these days, they didn't have it. They had none of this kind of stuff. So we're going to be looking at over time here Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Those are four biggies. Then there's a bunch of little guys. And here we go. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Well, those are names of books. Well, that's because those books are what those guys wrote. So what are their names? Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. So learn those names. And you get, those are the minor prophets. Those are the little guys. Now, of the names I just gave you, remember that the nation of Israel, the whole nation, the whole Jewish nation was divided up into two, the northern and the south. Okay? And all those names I gave you, Joel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Isaiah, and Micah, were up in the north. And the southern guys, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Obadiah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, why do I have Esther? And so you learn these things. And then you can actually, when you read through this huge Old Testament, which is, show me the Old Testament, Danica. Show me the pages. Find the end of the Old Testament, and then find the beginning of the Old Testament. Can you do that? With a little help from neighborhood grandmas? Olivia, can you find the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the Old Testament? Okay, now where's the beginning? Right, beginning. That's a lot of stuff there. But if you understand who these people are, who the prophets are, who they're talking to, and the whole deal, the Old Testament suddenly becomes, to me anyway, very, very interesting. Very interesting. It's not just historical facts. It shows how God's people messed up all the time. And yet he was still trying to help them and show them some stuff. And how when they finally just messed up to the point where God says, you know, I'm done with this stuff, he just lets them have it. He lets the enemy in the doors. Then there's these guys, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. They're going to be at the end when they try to rebuild everything. But see, those three guys are also at the time of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther at the beginning of all this. I guess I'm missing why they are where they are in the Bible when you've got all the stuff you've been up to, then you've got all the kings and all that stuff, then you've got the restoration crowd right there. Then you got Isaiah, then you got the Psalm stuff, then you got Isaiah and Jeremiah, which takes us back to here. I don't know why they're there. Must be a reason. I'm sure there's a reason. Some scholar will probably write to me and tell me that someday. Now, these prophets, these big guy prophets, it's a prophet. Remember the word prophet. Okay? These, they had their purpose. Here was their purpose. To save the Hebrew nation from idolatry, worshiping other gods, and being rotten, wicked. And that was their job. Those guys would listen to God. God would tell them, go tell those people of mine that they're worshiping a false god. Go tell those people of mine that they're doing something wrong. That's what they had to do. And the prophet would say, I'd be glad to go tell them that. Not always. I had to tell them some pretty hard things. Because you don't make a whole lot of friends always correcting them, instructing them in righteousness. You don't make a lot of friends that way. Parents know that. One of the difficult things about being a parent, it seems like, is because we always seem to be correcting kids. And you get tired of that? You don't think we get tired of that? We get tired of that too. These prophets to tell the Hebrew people that if you don't worship the right God and you don't lay off this wickedness, God's going to let the whole nation be destroyed. That's what he would say to them. And it's just like a parent said, listen, if you keep this up, you know, you're going to get in big trouble and you're probably going to just destroy everything that you tried to create. Or you tried to make, or what you're trying to do in your life. You keep growing up this way, you're going to destroy your life. And that's what these prophets had to tell God's people. These prophets, always, we're going to get this from Isaiah. Isaiah always knew that even though God was going to let the nation be destroyed, that he would still keep some people in that nation who were not going to be destroyed. He would still keep some people from being totally destroyed. And that's called a remnant. That's like when you're sowing stuff. I think this is how this goes. When you're sowing stuff and you're cutting all this kind of junk around and everything, what you have left over is still as a remnant, right? So here's all this nation of God's name, of the Hebrew nation, and they're all going to get destroyed except for some people around in the edges that aren't, because they're going to still be kind of paying attention. That's called a remnant. And God always has a remnant of the people that get destroyed here. Then we're going to learn from Isaiah that Isaiah knew that in that remnant, there's going to be a special person that in many, many years to come is going to still rescue the Hebrew nation. He knew that. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years at a time. Isn't that wild? I mean, do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? Some of us do. But not like we thought. But anyway, yeah, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. This guy knew hundreds of years down the road all these things we're going to talk about here in a couple minutes here. And he knew he was going to rescue the nation and the whole deal. That's a prophet. And Isaiah is so exciting to read because Isaiah says things very classy, real poetically. It's just some of the greatest verses you'll see from people quoting Bible will come out of Isaiah. It's just a really neat book to learn. It's a tough book, though, sometimes. Now, Isaiah, we're going to do Isaiah, not Jeremiah. We're going to do Jeremiah next year. The whole year with Jeremiah. There's so much to get from Jeremiah. But I've had fun reading from Isaiah. There's a lot of things in Isaiah that are pretty exciting, too. Let's see here. We'll see if we can just... Hey, that's the prophet stuff. You know what a prophet is then, right? Girls and... Yeah, girls, right? Prophet, tell someone what's coming down the road, kind of a thing. And he knew some exciting things. Now, Isaiah, that's the name of the person. It's the book, but it's also Isaiah. And these are his writings. One of the probably the biggest, the most important thing that happened in Isaiah's time was he did not let Jerusalem, the city itself, be destroyed. The rest of the nation went down the tubes, but they managed to keep Jerusalem from being destroyed. And that was his claim to fame, if you want to say that kind of a thing. Let's go to John chapter 12. Let me show you something in John chapter 12. Isaiah as a person, as the prophet, and the book. I mentioned earlier that Isaiah had talked about this man that's going to come someday in the future. In John chapter 12, verse 41, we see that even Christ knew that, and the Bible says that Esaias is his other way of doing his name here, that Isaiah would have possibly seen the Lord in his day. Because it says in verse 41, these things said Esaias, which is Isaiah, when he saw his glory and spake of him. So we know that Jesus Christ existed and he took place and he did things in the Old Testament, but he wasn't Christ on the earth. He wasn't like we know him as. But apparently Isaiah had seen who this man's going to be, because he was Moses on, just to know that was going to be the Christ later on type of a thing, as their Savior or the Messiah. And because Isaiah knew a lot about the Lord coming, knew a lot about the Messiah, he's called the Messianic prophet. Messianic. Not because his room is a mess. You know, you could be the Messianic daughter of the Kenches if that needs to be the case, but I hope that isn't the case. Messianic meaning Messiah. Messianic. Messiah. So he knew about the Messiah. He preached about the Messiah way, way years in advance. Now, let's look at him as a kid, in a way. When he was growing up as a young child, all of Israel was already starting to give in and pay their money. It's called tribute. Pay their money to Assyria. Assyria was a mean, rotten bunch of people. When he was a little older, young man, Assyria took control of Israel. Just took control. And as he was an older young man, even more of the land was taken over by this rotten crop called Assyria. So, just keep in mind, as he's growing up, his land, his country is being destroyed, being taken over by bad people. And he sees this all the time. This is what he grew up in. Must have never had it really good, as such here. He saw the fact that all the cities that the Hebrews had were all captive, taken captive and destroyed. And 200,000 of the people, Bible says 200,000 of the people were taken away as captives, as prisoners. That had to be not a good time. Homeschooling probably wasn't a big deal because they were surviving. And he didn't have the opportunity to just go and play. I mean, he's growing up in a land where the enemy is taking over. So when he gets to be an adult and he knows that the city that he has is going to be destroyed, and yet he sees God come down and do this massive miracle with these angels, and it protects the city. Remember, you talked about that with kings, angels, and all that kind of a thing. So pretty spectacular stuff. But see, you got to remember, in those days, in order for God to be believed, they had to see things. They just had to see things. So this prophet would come along, and he would preach what he would say to these people, but they wouldn't believe him. I mean, who's this guy? This is like Noah. We need to go build an ark because it's going to rain. Well, they didn't know what rain was. So the guy's a nut. You know what they found out? They eventually learned what rain was. And these guys were safe in the boat and everybody else wasn't. So here's Isaiah saying the things he's saying about, listen, Hebrews, we got to get this thing together because God's going to let the enemy destroy us. And they didn't. And guess what happened? The enemy destroyed them. So they finally saw what was going on. So, you know, hard thing. Now, the book of Isaiah, any idea how many books are in the book of Isaiah? I'm sorry, 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. What did I say? Books, right? Well, it's coming back. It's coming back. I think it's coming back. I'm not sure. So the 66 books in the Bible, and there's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, if you were to take a real close study, every one of those chapters has a parallel to every one of those books. So the first book in Isaiah would be quite a bit like the book of Genesis. There'd be some creation, some beginnings in Isaiah chapter 1. So it's going to kind of parallel. You get to the last book in Isaiah, what's it going to parallel? What's it going to be a lot like? What's the last book in the Bible? Revelation. So Revelation talks about the glorious future of living with God in this millennial reign of 1,000 years of just absolutely chocolate and all these great things. Not really, but you'll also read about that in the 66th chapter of Isaiah. So even though Isaiah looks like a huge book and it's got big words and it's real, real deep and kind of stuff, it really isn't. It's got some exciting things in there as well. If you were to divide the book up at all, just divide it up into two parts, chapters 1 through 39. 1 through 39 is about God's judgment. That's hard stuff. That's what's going to happen if you don't get it together. You know, it's like, how much of your day do you hear from your parents' judgment? Do you make it to noon, or do you wise up in the morning, or whatever? And then the last chapters were all about his salvation, what he will do for Israel, what he will do for the Hebrews eventually. So if you don't want to read about God's judgment, you read the last half of Isaiah. If you want to read about what God really is like, you can go ahead and yawn. Your mother's taught you how to do that, huh? But that's okay. Anyway, so that's Isaiah. Now, see here. Now, here's what your parents need to do with these kids. You need to tell them that again. Review that stuff with them again about this Isaiah. And we're doing good to be reading Genesis or Psalms or something. That's okay. They'll remember this stuff. They'll remember this guy named Isaiah. Now, so what is it that this guy, Isaiah, told people about ahead of time? If he's a future teacher kind of a guy, and we said that he talked about the Lord, and he supposedly saw his glory, because that's what they saw in the Old Testament, was a glory, and that was God's glory would be Christ, but he hadn't come on this earth yet. I think I pretty much covered everything. What's a remnant? Remnant, when the whole bunch of God's people are taken captive and destroyed, there are some of those that he keeps through the whole process. They're going to keep running, going through the whole thing. Even after the tribulation, what's there going to be? There's going to be a remnant. People are going to make it through there. What's going on with Christianity today? It's a disaster. I know you don't know that. You've heard it. You'll see it someday in your heart. But it's a disaster. It's absolutely a disaster. But what seems to be still available? There's a little remnant of people that believe that Bible's the Word of God. They've understood how to rightly divide the thing. They're trying sort of kind of to do things the way they know they ought to, but there's a little remnant in there. And when the rapture comes, who's the rapture going to rapture up? The remnant. And then, because that remnant is Jew or Gentile, whoever trusts, puts their faith in Christ, that's the remnant, and they're going to be out of here. When that rapture takes place, now we've got this horrible, wicked time of just, oh, there's peace for a while, but it's a false peace, and then there's just this destruction and starvation and the whole thing. There's going to be a remnant. He's going to still, some people are going to, there has to be a remnant to make it into the what? Millennium. They're going to destroy the world at the end of the tribulation. There's going to be some folks that actually follow the scriptures and don't do anything wrong, and they'll be doing their sacrifice, they'll be doing their confessing, and they'll have their life, you know, as together as possible. It's not very many people. But then what's a remnant? You got this great big huge sheet up here, and you're going to cut a dress for patients out of that thing. It's going to be a lot of material. And she'll probably just go from the end here right down to here, and from right over here all that'll fit into that dress. But there'll still be, I think anyway, a little bit off in the corners here, and that'll be the remnant. So it's not that there's many people, not many people in the remnant. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Now we're certainly not going to go through all the things I have underlined, and you probably have some things underlined in there. Well, I sure like you, though. But see, you can take your Bible home and you can read it. Have you read Isaiah at all? Haven't you? Have you read Isaiah at all? Has anybody ever read Isaiah to you yet or anything? Look, let's go back to chapter 1 just for a second. Just for a second. I mean, this could be an exciting guy, you know. Look at verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, not Amos, but Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So we've already studied all that, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. What a way to start, huh? He just knows that his people are giving him trouble, and he's going to talk to this Isaiah guy, and this Isaiah guy is going to tell him what's going on. So you might just, if you read this thing slowly, I mean, these people are in what? T-R-O-U-B-L-E. What is that? T-R... Trouble. These people are in trouble. And so, do you ever get in trouble? You actually shook your head no for a second, then you realize you're going to get in trouble for lying, right? You want to read somebody what God does to people that are in trouble back in the Old Testament days? You read Isaiah. Have your parents find some hot spots in there. Wow. It's amazing. Now, chapter 7. Look at this. Look what he says in verse 14. Just in the midst of all his things he talks about here. And one little comment in here. Just a small little verse. Look at verse 14. Can you see verse 14? Chapter 7, verse 14. Right down there, 6, 7. Right there. Got it? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. This is what they have to see. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Christmas song there. Emmanuel. Here we are, hundreds of years before Christ ever shows up on the scene, and Isaiah is talking about it. You're going to call him Emmanuel. Wow. Look at Isaiah chapter 40. Now, have you read the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Olivia, haven't read those either? Have you read them, Danica, at all? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John a little bit? You probably heard them read, because you're just starting to read. I mean, just think of all the things you have to read yet in your life. And we realize that there was a guy that came before Christ did. Who was that? Who's the guy that came down here? I think he was wearing camel hair suits and, kind of a buggy kind of a guy. Who was this guy? Somebody the Baptist. John the Baptist. He was Baptist, like we are called Baptist. That's just crazy stuff. But he baptized people. He came and told everybody, hey, the Messiah is coming. He is coming. Prepare the way, he says. Prepare ye the way. He's coming. And he came before that. And remember when Jesus was born? Remember in the Christmas story, as we call it, or as people call it, that there was also another baby being born at the same time? There was another one there going on. And that one was born so he can come before the Lord himself has come. He kind of come to prepare the way. See? That's like when your dad comes home from combining and stuff. You know, we got Sam and Austin walks in the door. And Marcy goes, oh, here come the boys. Louie must be right behind. Yes, here comes the father into the home. Come, father, into the home. And they escort him into the home as the king. Right? So not only does Isaiah tell everybody about this Messiah that's coming, he even tells them about this John the Baptist guy. Look at chapter 40, verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. And he's telling them about this guy down there in verse 3, prepare ye the way of the Lord. There's going to be somebody coming before him. Now look at verse 4. Here in Isaiah, he's telling these bad people that this Messiah who's coming, He's such a man that the mountains and the hills shall be made low. You ever have a major problem in your life? We call those mountains. And the Lord can take care of that. Not a big thing. You ever done anything wrong that you weren't supposed to do? That's called being crooked. You're crooked. You know, you're supposed to do it this way, and you do it this way. Because you're being crooked. That's one of the terms they give to bad people is crooked. Well, the Lord can straighten out crooked people. What's the third thing there? Rough places plain. Look at your grandpa, Danica. Rough guy that he is. And God has smoothed him out somewhat. He can do that. Olivia, look at your dad. Just a rough guy. Dirt farming guy. He's a rough guy. Probably grumpy and angry and stuff. But the Lord can smooth all that out. So that's what he does. Okay, in verse 5, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. Everybody will see him. And you know what? Everybody got to see him. Okay, let's go to chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. Boy, look at that huge, big first word. What is that word? Nevertheless. Look at all that. Is yours capitalized too? Yours capitalized? Caitlin, is your nevertheless all capital letters? Nine, one. Isn't that amazing? I mean, all these Bibles we have here, and the words are just exactly the way they're the same. Nevertheless, the dimness, you know what dimness is? That's when the lights are down. It's dim. Okay, can't see very well. The dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of this. What is all this about? Of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. He's talking about the people in Galilee. This is going to be God's ministry, the Lord's ministry there. That they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death. See, this is a very bad time. Very dark. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. What did the Jews think of the Gentiles in the Old Testament? What were they called? Dogs and heathen. And these people had to live by their conscience. Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 2. But if their conscience was seared, if they lived a wicked and mean life because they didn't know all the stuff the Jews were being told, because they didn't in the Old Testament days, theirs was the land of darkness, shadow of death. And you know, you've got friends that don't know the Lord. You've got friends and family and relatives that don't understand Paul. They don't understand the King James Bible. They probably don't even have a King James Bible. And those that do, they have no clue. And you've heard your parents talk about it, haven't you? You know that your uncles and grandpas and grandmas or other brothers or in-laws or whatever, they don't have this stuff. They're actually living in darkness. But you go to their house, they can see. They got lights in the house. No, but there's a darkness they're living in. They don't see what they need to see. And this is what he's saying here. People that walked in darkness. And then you come along, and what do you have in your hand right there, girls? What do you have right there on your table? You have a great light. You have a Bible. It's the light. Jesus Christ is the light. That's true. But he gave us down here. This is how we shine right here. This is how you tell people what to see. They get it out of here. Talk about that more tonight. So there's this Galilee, the land of the shadow of death. We're going to go over and we're going to see Uncle Milt. Oh, do we have to? Because they just live in the shadow of death, just a house of darkness. Wow, that'd be pretty classy talking. And that's really what's going on. But you need to show them the light. And when you go visit your family and friends and you disobey and you get in trouble from your parents, not that any of you kids would ever do that. I'm just saying the big if. If you ever get into that place and you start acting up and your parents have to come over and put the kibosh on you, you know that's showing them the wrong light. You go to somebody's house who's in darkness of the Lord and about truth, you're adding to their darkness instead of being the light. If you could somehow be that good example of obedient little, proper little girl or boy, and just everything your mom and dad say, you need to say, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, I will do anything you say, and do one of these things, little bows or whatever. you would be making the other family going, wow, kind of a deal. Anyway, let's go here to chapter 11. What else does he say about this future Messiah that Israel knows nothing about unless they hear it from Isaiah? Chapter 11, verse 2. Well, it says here, that he says that the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's what he's going to have. Did you notice that in the Old Testament that the word Lord are all capital letters? Did you see that there? Verse 2? That's referring to God. When you see it in the New Testament, it's going to be capital L, what do you call it? Small case? Lowercase? Lowercase O-R-D. That's talking about Jesus Christ. That's something. Keep that in mind. Okay. Look at chapter 61. The Spirit, verse 1.
61,
verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them. These are all the things that Isaiah is going to do, and yet you also realize that these are the things that the Lord says he's going to do. So here's Isaiah, by example, to the Hebrew people, God's people. Here's how life should be, and we have this Messiah coming. That's what he's going to tell them. And you know what the people said to Isaiah? What do you think the people said to Isaiah? What do they say to us? Whatever. They just go, whatever. If that's what you think, Isaiah, hey, probably call him Izzy. You know, whatever, Izzy. I laughed at him until one day it all came true. Anyway, we'll stop there. We've got some more stuff we'll pick up. We'll just finish up Isaiah next week. There you go. There's Isaiah. We're going to do Isaiah one more time. Now go home this week and look up a few things about Isaiah with your kids.